Hello and welcome back to another episode of Volley Takes. I'm your host, Abby, and yes, I'm back a week later, even though I normally do bi-weekly podcasts. This was because last week's podcast was actually supposed to be the week before. So I'm kind of just catching back up, or not really catching back up, but putting us back on schedule, on the normal schedule, if that makes sense. So after this, we'll go back to bi-weekly episodes, and then end of May will be the last episode for this little go around. I'm gonna take a hiatus in June and July, and we'll kick things back up in early August, just in time for college volleyball season. Could not be more excited. This is gonna be a huge year for college volleyball just because there's so many COVID seniors coming back and a lot of amazing freshmen coming in, lots of high profile transfers, and it's just going to be really, really exciting. So, yes, we have a lot to look forward to. All right. So I think that's it as far as announcements. We're going to get right into today's topic, which I've decided to make it related to college volleyball. Now, we're in April, so we got a long ways to go. But, and I know that there's another portal window that's going to open back up, so we might see some more people transferring in and out. But today, we're gonna go over the top 10, in my opinion, the top 10 freshmen that are gonna make the biggest impact their freshman year at their respective schools. So I've this amazing top 10 list, and let me just make things clear that these aren't like the top 10 recruits necessarily. These are the 10 recruits that I think are going to be like the game changers for their program. So it's not necessarily indicative of the level or the ranking that they got back when they were in high school as a volleyball recruit. So I guess we will just get right into it. So I have a top 10 here. So I guess we'll start with number 10. So at number 10, I have Ryan McAleer going to Purdue. I think she graduated early. And she's a libero slash DS. Now, this has nothing to do with libero DSs, but this is the only libero that I put on the list. And the reason why is passing is so just different from club slash high school to college. The level just goes up a crazy amount. So it's so hard to predict, how liberos will go into college and how they will do. So it's really, really unpredictable. But I put Ryan on here because she is entering a program that is losing their starting libero and their starting defensive specialist. So the only two returning libero DSs didn't play at all last season. They got little to no playing time. So Ryan's entrance into the Boilermaker program could be very interesting. It could be one of those things where she is the starting libero, is like the next Ramsey Gary, like coming out of nowhere and being the starting libero for a Big Ten program, or she could redshirt. It all depends on just the dynamics of that specific program. But I think it'll be really exciting to see if she makes an impact, and if so, how big of an impact she could make. Definitely a high ceiling, I guess, recruit for Purdue, if that makes sense. So next up, number nine, and people are going to not like where I placed this specific athlete at number nine, but I put Skylar Pierce from Nebraska, outside hitter. And the reason I did that is because it's beyond safe to say that Skylar Pierce was like the number one recruit. I think she was the number one recruit coming out of high school, if not definitely the number one outside hitter coming in. So, but the problem is that she's joining a program. It's not really a problem. I don't want to say problem, but The reason why I have her at number nine is she's entering a program that returns their starting outside hitter, Lindsey Crousey, Harper Murray. And they're also bringing in, like, former Big Ten Player of the Year, Taylor Lanfair. So it's so hard to see, like, if she will get playing time at that program. Now, do I think she deserves to get her shot? Absolutely. But it's one of those where she could very well transfer. I mean, that could happen. She very well could redshirt. The only thing is, we saw that last season with Caroline Jurevicius, and Caroline just said, okay, peace out. Like, I still have 4 years to go to another program. So it is going to be very interesting, Skylar's role for the Huskers this upcoming season. I could also see her playing some right side, not necessarily replacing Merritt Beeson this year, but when she does graduate, I could definitely see Skylar taking the role of a right side. She's just super tall, super lengthy, super athletic, really good at blocking. I mean, she very well could be a right side, in my opinion, but that's going to be a really interesting one as well. I think she's very talented. I watched her play at the UA Next games, and she was by far the best player on the court. And yeah, it's gonna be really interesting if she does shake up that lineup. All right, at number eight, we have Alex Boer, BYU, going into BYU, setter. Woo! I'm excited about this one. So if you don't know, you probably heard the last name Boer. Her sister Whitney was the starting setter for the Cougars last season, and maybe even the season before. Phenomenal setter. I'm pretty sure she was an All-American. If she wasn't, I think she deserved to be an All-American. And then her sister, she has another sister, Eden, who's also on the team. She will be a junior next season, I'm pretty sure. But with Whitney graduating as a setter, it could be one of those where Alex comes in and replaces her own sister as a starting setter for a top 25 program. And what's also interesting is that Alex is a little bit taller than Whitney, so we could see a little bit more height in the front row if Alex were to play 5-1. So that would be really, really interesting. And overall, I just think it could be a really fun story to watch. So that's that on Alex Boer. Moving on to number seven. This is an interesting one, but I definitely put her high up on the list. Lola Lambert out of Arkansas, outside hitter. So she is an undersized outside hitter, not undersized like Jill Gillen, but she's 5'9", and could very well just be the replacement for Jill Gillen. And the Razorbacks are also losing Taylor Head. She transferred to FSU. So they're definitely in need for some outside hitters for that team to, you know, pick up, hopefully pick up where they left off last season, you know, bringing back their libero and their setter. So that'll be a really interesting one. Lolo, I mean, she has an insane vertical jump similar to Jill Gillen, and I could definitely see her being like the next star of that program for the next 4 years. So she's an exciting player to watch, and I think she's going to be exciting to watch in, you know, the college volleyball season. Alrighty, next up is, and we're at number six. I may have just completely stopped saying the numbers. I'm going from 10 to 1, but at number six, we have Emmy Selman going to Ohio State as an outside hitter. Maybe she'll be playing outside. So Emmy Selman, she is very, very tall. I also got to watch her at the UA Next games. She was phenomenal for Team Ice. And it would be really interesting to see where she will be playing on that team. You know, if you didn't know, Emily Londot had been playing right side for the Buckeyes, but then moved over to outside. This could be a situation where Emmy comes in and plays outside and moving Emily Londot back to right side. We also have Ella Roble coming in as a transfer from Wisconsin to Ohio State. So that could be really interesting as well. So it's not a definite that Emmy will start her freshman year for the Buckeyes, but it is a pretty decent possibility. It's just a matter of whether, you know, she would play outside or right side, and where JFO wants to have Emily Londot on the court. So that's going to be a really interesting one, but I'm so excited to watch Ohio State next year. They were a very young team last year, and with Emily Londot coming back, Riley Rader coming back, I think it's going to be really just fun to watch them for their last season and just to see the future of the Buckeye program. Again, they're a very young team, so very excited. They're probably, and I'll probably make a list in another episode of the top 10 teams I'm excited to watch, and you might see Ohio State on there. So, alrighty, next up at number 5, we have Lizzie Andrew, middle blocker, going to Stanford. Now, this is, I keep saying the word interesting, but this is going to be a really interesting one. So McKenna Vicini obviously graduated. They had another middle who I think played a little bit when Sammy Francis was hurt. She also was a senior. So the only middle blocker that is on the roster right now is Sammy Francis. So Lizzie Andrew could go in and will likely start, if not be a very pivotal player for the Cardinal. And Stanford may need to bring in another middle. I feel like you should always have three middles on your roster at least. So I wouldn't be surprised if they grabbed like a grad transfer from a high academic program to just be a backup middle or maybe even start. You never really know, but Lizzie is a very tall, very tall middle blocker. And yeah, I also feel like she has a high ceiling. So she may come in and, you know, we'll have, you know, her freshman little self like a lot of freshmen do. But I think she, by her senior year, is going to be an incredible middle blocker for Stanford. And I'm very excited for that. All right. We're moving into the top 4. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. Okay. that sounded so cheesy. All right. At number 4, we have Alec Roth going to Florida. I think she's already on campus, like a lot of these players are, as a middle blocker. Now, Alec is going into a program, again, that's losing a starting middle blocker in Nady Okemor, who entered the portal and I think is going to SMU. I could be wrong. But Alec, again, yeah, she's joining a program that is in need for middles, is in need for not just middles, but more depth in the middle blocker position. I think that was definitely their weakness last season, especially with Anna Dixon being a starting middle and then getting hurt. That was a huge loss, not only Anna Dixon, but losing Alexis Stuckey and Kira Hudson. Hopefully, those players will be back, with the exception of Anna Dixon, who graduated. But it's going to be really interesting. Alec also has a super high ceiling as a middle blocker. Already is super talented and very tall, very physical. She really gets into the game. And I think, in a way, Florida is missing, you know, that grit and that, like, let's go type of attitude. I may cut that out of the podcast. but you know what? You know what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. If you watch Florida volleyball, you know what I mean. And she has already been doing well during the spring season. I haven't been able to watch their matches yet, but through the grapevine, I've heard that she's been doing really well for the Gators. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything else to say. Oh, there was something else to say. I also watched her play at the UA Next Games on Team Ice, and she was phenomenal. I think she was one of the best middle blockers there, which was kind of surprising because there was a lot of talent at the UA Next Games, but I think she was probably one of the best middle blockers there. Alrighty, moving on to number 3. We have Charlie Furbringer, setter, going to Wisconsin. She was actually one that decided to not graduate early and play club her last season. Respect to her for doing that, but she is a absolute phenomenal setter. She comes from a family of volleyball players, and I think what's going to be really interesting is Wisconsin most likely moving to a 5-1 again. The last time they ran a 5-1 was with Sydney Hilly the year that they won the national championship. So it is going to be really interesting because running a 5-1 will, if they run a 5-1, one of their current starters will have to sit the bench. And there's going to be a lot of competition between most likely the middles and the right sides. So again, Charlie is super phenomenal, very high volleyball IQ. Obviously a team that, you know, had been using a 6-2 system with setters for like multiple years. There's definitely going to be some growing pains in, you know, establishing those connections. You'll see why when I get to number one, if that makes sense. But yeah, Charlie, I think if there was a player to join that program to turn it around after losing their two setters, I think it would be Charlie. And I'm very excited. I also saw Charlie at the UNX games. And it's so wild because she's kind of like one of those surprising setters. Like when you see her, you're like, okay, like she's a setter or whatever. But she can jump really high, and out of nowhere, when she's in the front row, she'll just jump up and hit the ball straight down, and the block can never predict it. So she's a super awesome athlete. I actually got to interview her, and she was just super sweet, and I think she's going to be great at Wisconsin. All right, now we're down to the top two, and you're probably thinking to yourself, I know there's probably lots of listeners right now, like, who's number one, who's number two, like, who's left, and they're, like, thinking in their mind. I don't think you know. So, number two, we have Aiden Ames, middle blocker, going to Texas, / already at Texas, / already starting for the Longhorns during the spring season. So, yes, if you didn't know Aiden Ames, she flipped her commitment from Nebraska to Texas. It has caused all this drama. Nebraska assistant coaches tweeting on X or whatever, some shady stuff that, you know, we're not going to get into because, yeah. but I personally think she could be the best freshman middle blocker that we've seen nationwide since Dana Rudke. And, you know, maybe that puts a lot of pressure on her, but I truly believe that she is incredible in both hitting and blocking. I think the best thing that I like to see in middle blockers is kind of being equal in the aspect of hitting and blocking. She was Gatorade National Player of the Year. She played at Drive Nation, a huge club in Texas. And she's already started, like I said, for Texas and has been doing incredible. And Jarrett Elliott even said that she could be one of the best freshmen that he's had in his program. And finally, at number one, according to PrepDig, is the number one recruit in the 2024 class. So excited to say this name because we're probably going to be saying this name all season for the next 4 years. Izzy Stark, setter, Penn State. I don't even know where to start. And it was one of those things where going into watching the UA Next games, seeing these players in person, I had a lot of high expectations on Izzy Stark because she, like, being the number one recruit as a setter is like, what? Like, normally the number one recruit is an outside hitter or just a hitter in general. So I had extremely high expectations on this girl. I was like, this girl has to be amazing. Like, she has to be. If she's the number one recruit as a setter, she has to be amazing. And I had that expectation going into watching the UNX practices and games. And boy, was she that and more. Like, just so physical as a setter. She's 6'1", so she's tall and amazing at every aspect that a setter needs to be: setting, blocking, dumping, defense. Like, I cannot say enough of this girl. I'm already saying right now, going to be already getting multiple Big Ten freshman awards. I don't know if they do a preseason freshman award. It's going to Izzy. She's going into that program. She is going to be a phenomenal replacement for Mac Pedraza. And I think she's going to connect in a better aspect than Charlie at Wisconsin, only because Penn State got a new, like, the last three seasons, they've had a new setter. So 2 years ago, it was Elisaya. Last season, it was Mac Pedraza. And now this season, it's going to be Izzy Stark. So these hitters are already used to seeing a new setter every season and having to connect. So I think she's going to come in and just be so great. Her sister's on the team, so there's already going to be kind of like a bonding type of ability. I think she's going to connect so well. And I just keep thinking of things that I noticed from watching her at UA Next. Her ability to connect with the hitters, especially the middles, so early in like the first day of practices, I think says a lot. It is so hard to play with people that you've never played with ever before. And she like just was awesome at communicating with the hitters, talking with the hitters, and being able to establish those connections so early. It's only going to translate to Penn State. So mature as a setter. I think she's going to go in, and people that aren't familiar with volleyball are going to think she's transferred in like Elisaya did, like Mac Pedraza did. But no, she's a freshman. And yeah, I mean, I could ramble on and on about this girl. She's just so awesome, has such an amazing, amazing attitude. She gets into it, but isn't like super like aggressive either. It's just that happy, happy medium. And yeah, I'm just gonna stop right there, because we could go an hour talking about Izzy Stark. She is literally worth the hype. I'm saying it right now, in the running for National Freshman of the Year. I'm just gonna say it right now. Like, especially with a program who not only is getting her, is getting a high profile libero recruit in Ava Falduto. I didn't put her on this list because Penn State does return their libero DSs. But then they're also getting Maggie Mendelson and Caroline Jurevicius from Nebraska coming in with multiple years remaining in their eligibility. We're going to be talking about this Penn State program for years to come. Oh, not only that, but they're bringing back Jess Merzik and Taylor Trammell and Cameron Hanna. Like, this team's going to be phenomenal next year. And I think this year technically, but what's going to be the key is going to be Izzy Stark and whether she's able to establish the connections quickly, which I think she's going to do, which is why Penn State is up there with teams I am most excited to watch this upcoming fall. And we're going to end it at that, guys. So if you made it this far, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I'm just so excited I love college volleyball. Now I will say, and this isn't to, bash college volleyball in any way, but I think when I go from watching PBF to the Olympics back to college volleyball, it's going to seem a little bit slower and a little bit more like lower level. Lower level. But I'm still, nevertheless, very, very excited for the college volleyball season. We're going to be talking a lot more about college volleyball in the fall, but I thought we'd do a little stay tuned kind of moment with today's episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any other topics, sort of ideas that I should cover in a future episode, be sure to DM me, any of those kinds of things. If you have any hot takes that you want to talk about, we can start doing those at the beginning of the episode. You know, this is called Volley Takes. But again, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and look forward to a new episode in 2 weeks. Bye!